You're back with Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. The first line of the new novel, East of Denver, sets the tone perfectly for what's in store.
I was driving from Denver to the farm with a dead cat in the backseat of my car.
It's bleak, plain-spoken, kind of like Dorsey, the fictional Eastern Plains town where the story's set. In Gregory Hill's new novel, a son leaves Denver to take care of his senile father. His hometown hasn't changed much, nor have the people who stayed. But his homecoming brings some surprises. We're going to keep that a secret. Author Gregory Hill grew up on the plains himself and now lives in Denver. Greg, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. It's delightful to be here.
How carefully did you craft that opening sentence?
Very carefully. This is East of Denver was my second novel. And for both of the novels and also the one I'm writing right now, I won't start it until I've got the opening sentence. Because from there, the opening sentence is the bow from whence the arrow is shot.
And how did they pop into your head?
Slowly. Because I get a vague idea of what I want to write about. And then I just leave it in the back of my head for months and months until eventually I'm taking a shower, brushing my teeth, sitting at work, trying not to do anything. And then it comes into my head and I'm done. And then I can start writing my book.
And it is a tone setter, I suppose.
Absolutely. I mean, you get this one, there's a dead cat, and the dead cat's what makes it work. And then there's also this traveling element. But you put something dead in the beginning of a book, in spite of the fact that the dead cat has virtually nothing to do with the rest of the book, people are going to keep reading.
And the book involves, a dying town, I think it would be fair to say, one that has lost some life.
You are correct, sir. When I said the cat has nothing to do with the rest of the book, it is actually, I misspoke. It's an analogy for the entire process of the book and the death of this town and this rural part of America.
Well, it's interesting because you have said that this book is about the unhomesteading of America.
That was motivated by the book High, Wide, and Lonesome by Hal Borland, who wrote When the Legends Die. If you went to seventh grade, at least at my school, you read that book. That book is just, the classic story. He and his father moved in the Homestead Act, landed in eastern Colorado, dug the well, made the sod house, did a great book. I loved it. It's not for everybody, but I really identified with it. And now looking at that area today, I see the exact opposite happening. So I wanted to get rid of the house, get rid of the well, and send everything back to the way it was.
And that's what's happening to a lot of towns on the eastern plains and a lot of farms on the plains.
You see it particularly, or I see it particularly, in the schools out there. I went to a school called Liberty, which that school is comprised of the towns of Joes and Kirk, which have to combine together to have enough students for one school.
And this is in Yuma County,
Colorado. In Yuma County, southern Yuma County. And we played six-man football when I went to school there.
Okay.
But now enrollment is down so much that in order for them to have a football team, they actually have to take those two towns of Liberty and combine with the town of Stratton to make one football team.
Three towns, one team.
Three towns, one team.
You grew up on Colorado's Eastern Plains, and your father recently passed away. I understand that he had Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And this, too, mirrors a lot of what goes on in the book. Is this book about you, your experience, and your father's experience?
I'm sure a psychiatrist could probably deduce that. I didn't set out to do that, though. But clearly there are direct influences. The way I describe it is the book, a lot of the conversations are reverberations of actual conversations and experience when he was dealing with Alzheimer's. It's not real comfortable talking about him at this juncture. Still pretty sad about it. But there are various moments in the book that I took. I would take a small incident in Dad's life and then exaggerate it to give it some dramatic flair. For instance, one of the central components of the story is there's an airplane that he got swindled out of for $20. It's a Cessna airplane. And the banker rips him off, buys it for $20 because the old man, because he just doesn't know the value of things. The genesis of that was from a swamp cooler that somebody gave Dad, and he tried to set it up. He couldn't get it working. This is when he was getting to where he couldn't, work very much anymore. And then I went to the farm once, and the swamp cooler was gone. I said, Dad, where's the swamp cooler? He says, I sold it. I said, well, how much did you sell it for? He's like, oh, about $20. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. You know, you got it for free. Let somebody have it for a deal. But then in the book, let's make this thing huge. Let's make it an incident.
And this is partly why the son has moved back to be with his father, because his dad just isn't capable of taking care of himself anymore. And that just struck me as a theme that a lot of Americans are or will be dealing with as the baby boom generation comes of age.
Absolutely.
You're tapping into something there.
I mean, it's an obvious thing. When I was writing the book, I actually was conscious of the fact that there are a lot of Alzheimer's-related memoirs out there, and there are a lot of people, in some degree, either experiencing Alzheimer's directly or being a caretaker for somebody with Alzheimer's. This isn't not a unique idea that I'm putting together, and the thing that motivated me to keep working through the book was to try to take that experience and make it some elements of it, the way I related it, I wanted to make it as inappropriate as possible.
As inappropriate as possible?
As inappropriate as I was comfortable making it. Because I was aware of the fact that people would read the book and assume that the narrator was me and that the person with Alzheimer's was my dad. So I didn't want to go too far, but I didn't want it to be conventional. I didn't want it to be maudlin. I wanted it to be wacky and weird and honest.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and the novelist Gregory Hill is with us. His new book is called East of Denver. And the publication of this book is an interesting story in and of itself. It won a contest sponsored by Amazon for breakthrough novel, and that meant a $15,000 advance and a publishing contract. This was just what, a book you had on your computer, wondering what to do with it, or?
I had just finished my third draft, and which meant I was ready to start sending it out. So I was going through the lists, looking for agents, looking for publishers, and I'd written a novel previously, which got, I don't know, 130 rejections. So I was really excited to get back into that world. And I work at a library buying books, and sometimes I have to go to Amazon and buy used books from them. And I happened to see on the site that they had a contest. I was bored that particular day. I sent in the book, and then a few months later, I got a bunch of money and a contract. It was crazy.
You mentioned that you work at a library. Have you had the experience yet of buying your own book for the library?
Yes, I did, and that was glorious.
I bet. I mean, it must be really frustrating to be an author who all the time is looking at everyone else who's getting published and then being like, I'm getting rejection letters.
Well, not really.
Okay.
Because working at the library, it's great because I get to see all these books and I know what's coming out. And I get to, books will come across my desk and I'll read the first page. Maybe that's why I had a decent first sentence in my book. That's all I read is the first pages of books. I don't feel like anybody owes me anything. I don't deserve anything special. I just wrote a book, and if it does well, it does well. And I also understand that sometimes you do have to get lucky in order to get published, because there's so many wonderful books out there that haven't been published.
You live in Denver now, but I wonder if you have any plans to return home like the character in your book.
I don't want to return home like the character in my book, but I do want to return home. My wife and I are actually planning on moving out there sometime in the next couple years.
Back out to Joe's, Colorado.
Back to Joe's, back to the house, and I can't wait. The farther I am from Joe's, the less happy I am.
Now, you say you don't want to move there like your main character. He moves back to a fair amount of tumult, and you're hoping for a smoother transition, I gather.
Yes.
You have mentioned that you're working on another book, and it's quite likely that you'll be writing part of it in Joe's when you move back.
I hadn't even thought about that. But well, that book will be done before I go to Joe's, but I certainly will be writing more. The thing is, the book I'm writing right now, it takes place in the same area, and already I'm starting to get sick of writing about that same area, because it's a claustrophobic world. There aren't a lot of human interactions. And in the book I'm working on right now, it's basically one guy being depressed on a ranch. So I don't know how entertaining it's going to be.
Well, this is fascinating, because the nature of the place you're choosing to write about is such an isolated place that you are limited, I suppose. Or that what's self-dialogue becomes a real place to open a character up?
I love that question. Can I say that?
You can borrow that. Yeah.
Because when you do pull away all the external stimuli, action of a city, You have these people, and they do. They reflect about things. And
you got to be resourceful.
People have to be resourceful. Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Gregory, for being with us. And good luck on the transition from Denver to Joe's.
I am looking forward to it very much.
Gregory Hill is the author of the novel East of Denver. I'm Ryan Warner with producers Elise Thatcher and David Hill. That's Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio.